Are you there at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57? Let's look there at these scriptures. In fact, let's just back up a little bit. And if it's your custom, let's go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God, and we'll let you do that. Brother Coral always says, let me have you stand and stretch your legs one last minute. That always concerns me. It's like, okay, one last. I'm hoping I'll be able to stand multiple times and stretch my legs. But he's always encouraging us that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 51 said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And the nursery lady said, "Amen." "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Again, look at verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thought for Sunday school is simply this: hey, Christian, we have the victory. We have the victory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this good church and good pastor, and pray, Lord, that you continue to bless this church and ministry. Thank you for the faithful folks that are here this morning for Sunday school. Bless each class that's taught. Bless those that are working with the children that came in on the bus as they preach the word. I pray that precious souls would be saved. Lord, I do pray that Christians would be encouraged as we consider the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you. We want to thank you for salvation, and just say that we love you. God bless now as we get started this morning, throughout the day, and through the week upcoming. We pray this in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you look at verses 51 through 58, you have an account of what's going to be taking place in the latter time. The next event on God's calendar, in a prophetic sense, is the rapture, the catching away of the bride of Christ, those that have been blood washed and redeemed. Oh, glad day. We're looking forward to that. Amen. The scripture tells us that those who have died before us, those that in Christ have died, are now with the Lord. The scripture teaches us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So if you're concerned or curious about where your loved ones in Christ are today, rest assured the scripture teaches us they are with the Lord. They're clothed in a heavenly likeness, a heavenly body, celestial, that God has provided, waiting for that day when the Lord Jesus Christ will step out and shout, and the sound of the trump will go forth, and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible. Amen. Hey, that spirit will reunite with that body, and it will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Up from the ground it will arise. Amen. Hey, that's a great getting up morning. Praise the Lord for that. But those that are alive, and trust me, friend, you know, I understand the Bible talks about the Lord going through the valley of the shadow of death with us, but I just as soon go by air than by ground. Amen. I want to be upside when the Lord Jesus Christ appears. But should that not happen, I'm going up. And that's what this scripture is talking about. Really, it's the resurrection, the future awaiting of the believer. Dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with Him. Amen. Hey, and that is the encouragement that motivates us to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding abounding in the work of the Lord. Hey, knowing that we are on the victory side. Over at football camp there in Dwight, we attend that. Your pastors come for a number of years. Some of the young men have come. And the theme song for that camp is, I'm on the winning side. Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my heart was burdened down with pride, then the Savior came along and showed me I was wrong. Now I know I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side, friend. I have victory in Jesus. And the Scripture tells us here that we can be encouraged, giving thanks for the victory we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:4 tells us this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Many times Christians going around with the mullet grubs. They're going down with the lip on their shoe. And I know difficulties come and trials are real. And there are things that we can face in life that will challenge us to the nth degree. But rest assured, hey, we have the victory in Jesus Christ. And so as we consider this, the victory that we have in Christ, I'd like to point out just a couple of things for you to think about. Why do you say, preacher, that we can be so encouraged by this victory? Well, when you read the Bible, there are three things concerning victory that you ought to take note of. Number one, I want you to consider the language of victory. The language of victory. These verses of Scripture, you might have time just to write them down or just the reference, but Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Psalm 46:1 tells us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. 1 Timothy 1:12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. When we look at these verses of Scripture, we can see that the language of the Bible assures us that we are on the winning side. As I mentioned, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, victory, victory, the language of victory. You can go from Genesis to the book of Revelation and you can see countless story after countless story where God was victorious and gave his followers, the believers. Oh, just a casual look back through the testimony of Moses leading the children of Israel out of bondage. I mean, crossing that Red Sea into that wilderness area, seeing how God had provided for them the rock and the water from the rock and the manna that fell from heaven and quail they did eat. And oh, as he led them through the wilderness and then when with Joshua across that Jordan River into the land of promise and that first victory at Jericho when all they did was march around and do as God commanded and those walls came tumbling down. All through the Scripture, you see the mighty hand of God. You see the victory of the Hebrew children when they were faced with bowing down before the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had erected. And they said, oh, king, we're not careful. We're not going to bow. And as a result, they didn't bow, they didn't bend, and they didn't burn because they got the victory in Christ. Amen. That's the language. You ought to read your Bible, for in it you see the language of victory. I'm telling you, many Christians are living a defeated life. Many Christians going down, going around complaining and griping. I'll tell you, they don't have a relationship with the Word of God. Because the Word of God will reveal to you the rich promises that God has afforded to every one of us. The Bible is a language. It gives us the language of victory. Oh, get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Let your Bible get into you, and you will see all the victory that God has for you. So we see the language of victory. Then the second thing I want you to notice from the scripture is the Lord of victory. Now we said in the scripture here, we're accounting actually these end time events that are forthcoming. These are to give us encouragement, especially as we face the reality of life day to day. And I tell you what, man, you just casually turn on the television and you see, goodness gracious, can it get any worse? And then you turn it on and you see, man, it has.
Right.
But you know what? Christians don't have to go around wringing their hands. They don't have to go around with uncertainty. They don't have to go around, you know, saying, man, preacher, what can you give me? What can you do? No, you have the victory. You've got the language of victory. And then you've got the Lord of victory. Hey, what is the scripture say about our Lord? It says, thanks be to God, verse 57, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say that name, Jesus Christ. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Jesus Christ. Once again, 1, 2, 3. Jesus Christ. Do you know we have victory through that name?
Amen.
Man, you say that name, it gets attention. Huh? It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and you see people bow their head and pray over a meal. And they say grace and they close in Jesus' name. Amen. Boy, it's like people, they perk. Even people that are loud, they'll kind of get a little bit quiet. And if there was somebody that was maybe obnoxious or maybe speaking, with a foul language, someone kind of take notice because they hear that name, Jesus Christ. You know, there's power in that name, isn't it? Hey, there's purity in that name, isn't it? Oh, therein is our victory. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13? God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will make a way to escape. Isn't that a blessing? Knowing, man, you have a Lord, the Lord of victory. The Lord of victory. Now, I like football just like I know most of you all do. Even some of you men like football. But... You know, we always, you know, we want our team. We want it to go undefeated. We want to go to the national championship. I know Texas A&M has been really longing for that for years. Wasn't 1939 the last time that happened? I think it was when Dr. Joe Boyd was actually playing and was an All-American. And so that's a little while ago. Y'all are due. You really are due. And we're thinking, man, to have the victory, to be on the winning side. Look, we got something better than a football game victory. We've got something better than a trophy bass. We've got something better than a trophy. Well, I don't know if there's any of that trophy buck. Man, that's really getting the sacrilegion right there. But we do. We got something much better than all of that, don't we? We've got something, and it is Jesus. Boy, what a mighty God we serve. Our Lord, He's omnipotent. Hey, He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. Oh, what's that simply mean? Well, omniscient means He's all-knowing. Omnipresent, He's omnipotent, all-power. Omnipresent, He is everywhere present. Amen. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. Hey, Romans 8:37, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, what a blessing. How about this? 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and making manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. Listen to that. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. In Christ. So we have the Lord of victory. We have the language of victory. And then I want you to consider this. How about the length of victory? The length of victory. Psalm 90. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Hey, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, take a look at that. Look at the description that Paul gives to Timothy concerning the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now unto, look at this, the King eternal. Look at this, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh man, when's the last time you just stop and thank the Lord for the victory? Amen. Thank the Lord for the awesomeness of the victory that we have in salvation. Hey, the awesomeness of the victory that we have in the Spirit of God that lives within us, and the promise of the filling of the Spirit through obedience that will enable us to serve Him. What a blessing. Look at it. It says, now unto the King, He's eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Surely to Him be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, when we consider the victory, we have the language of victory. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Lord of victory. Hey, in His name. Hey, there is no power greater than in His name. Amen. And then we have the length of victory. It is everlasting. Hey, you think about Isaiah. Isaiah says that his strength is everlasting. His salvation is everlasting. His joy is everlasting. His kindness is everlasting. He is everlasting light. And you know what Jeremiah 31:3 tells us? He loves us with an everlasting love. What a blessing. What a blessing. The victory that we have is secure in Christ Jesus. The victory. Now, for the next few minutes that I have, I want to give you a simple acrostic for victory. Now, again, we've got the language of victory. We've got the Lord of victory. We have the length of victory. But let's make it practical. For every one of us, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. Whatsoever, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Isn't it pretty clear from the Scripture that God wants us to have the victory? Amen. Isn't it very clear from the Scripture that Jesus is our victory? I don't know if any songwriter had gotten it any more right, if that's a correct way to say that, than the songwriter who wrote Victory in Jesus. Because it pretty much sums it up completely, doesn't it? But victory. How can the believer, in a practical way, apply victory in their life? How can they secure victory? All right? Let me give you an acrostic. If you have your pen, write the word victory. Just spell it out. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory, victory is our cry. All right, now. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. And I'm going to give you a word for every letter. And I promise you, if you will apply each word to that letter, that this challenge of victory in Jesus won't be simply a challenge. It won't simply be something that we can look at and say, oh, okay, we have victory in Christ. But you can have it in your life each and every day. That's where we need it, amen?
Amen.
We need it every day. Hey, you may feel like, man, I just can't get over this situation. I can't get beyond this point in my life. Hey, God doesn't want us in a state. He doesn't want us to stagnate. He doesn't want us to be at an impasse. God wants us to move forward. Amen. He said, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. Amen. God wants you living like you're on the winning side.
Amen.
Now, Christians, we're on the winning side, but unfortunately, too few Christians are living like they're on the winning side. And it's time Christians realize all that we have in Christ Jesus. All right, so the first thing, verbally ask God for daily help. Verbally ask God for daily help. Jeremiah 31:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. When we talk about verbalizing, what are we referring to? We're talking about asking God for help. We're talking about praying. Verbally ask God for daily help. Talk to the Lord. Hey, I was on the porch this morning walking around and saying, oh, God, help me. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to be a blessing to Pastor Ogden. I want to be a blessing to the Trinity Baptist Church. Lord, they've invested time and sacrifice and effort to have a meeting, and I don't want their time to be wasted. Oh, God, please, I need your help. And you know what? I can come expecting God to give victory because I verbally express to God in prayer what our needs are, what my needs are. And we can do that in our life. We need to talk to the Lord. You're going to face and you're going to work in the morning. I don't know what kind of week you're going to have. You don't know what kind of week you're going to have. You don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what's beyond tomorrow. But you can verbalize your need to a God in heaven, and he can give you victory for that day. Amen. You kids that are going to school, you might be having a tough time. You may be having some difficulties. You may have some challenges. Have you stopped and talked to the God of heaven who wants you to have the victory in your life? Talk to the Lord about it. Ask him to help you. Now, don't ask him to fill in the answers that you hadn't studied for. Okay? I mean, the Lord's going to help you, but I used to pray for the students. Lord, bless the students and help them do on their tests as well as they have prepared for the test. And they hated that when I would do that. Because why? You'd say, I'm going to see how quickly I can cram this information in my head. All right? Hey, verbally ask God for daily help. I invite Christ to everything that you do. Invite Christ to everything that you do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the Bible tells us there in verse, I believe it is in 31. Yes. Wherefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, to glorify God means to make clear. All right. So when we invite Christ into everything that we do, what we're doing is we are sending a picture to the world of what Christ means to us. Now, I understand. We talked about God being omnipotent and omniscient and all of that, everywhere present. God knows where we're going to be. And as a saved individual, he's going everywhere that we go. But making it conscious, having it conscious in your mind that, you know what? I'm bringing Jesus with me wherever I go. I'm inviting him along to the friend's house. I'm inviting him along to that activity. I'm inviting him along into the workplace. I'm inviting him everywhere I go. If we would purposely acknowledge that and understand and make it real, perhaps maybe we wouldn't get involved or go places that we shouldn't, because we can't make God clear to the world in the way that he should be if we're not properly glorifying him.
Right.
All right, so we need to invite him into everything that we do, to glorify, to make him clear. C is confess your sins to Christ daily. Brother Buchanan, who's now in heaven, he used to always encourage us there that work with him. He said, you know what? You guys need to make sure you keep short accounts with God. He said, you need to make sure that you come before the Lord with confession in your heart each and every day. Keep that relationship with the Lord right, because you need God's power each and every day that you live. Too often we don't take in consideration that we are to go up to the Lord each day and confess our sin to Him and ask for His forgiveness each and every day, that we might be able to better serve Him. Oh, we don't ask Him to forgive us of our sin for salvation, but you know what? We do need to confess our wrongdoing to Him. Right. You know, confessing your sins kind of like taking a bath. Hey, when you don't take a bath physically, pretty soon you get rank. And if you, as a Christian, you hold in sin in your life, you know what? It begins to begins to show evidence in your life, and you become rank spiritually. Huh? You don't smell good to folks. You don't taste good to folks. You don't sound good to folks. Whenever you got those things piled up in your heart and life, hey, the preaching just can't hardly penetrate. It's like you're repelled. Why? Because you've got that stuff built up in your life. You see, we confess our sin to the Lord so that we can restore the fellowship that we need. That's where the victory comes from. I got to move on. So confess daily. Tell others the gospel story. Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. All right? He wasn't ashamed to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we truly want to experience the victory for ourselves, we need to be Christians that are witnessing of our faith in Jesus Christ. Man, when's the last time you passed out some trays? Talk to the lady at the drive-thru or the man at the drive-thru. A person that's checking you out at the grocery store. Or just went out and knocked on some doors. Talk to people about the Lord. Well, that's not my gift. It's not a gift. Hey, it's a responsibility that each and every one of us have. And I'm telling you, Christians don't have victory. They don't have joy because they are not speaking up for the Savior. I tell you what, if Texas A&M went 11-0, 12-0, 13-0, and they were headed to the, what do they call that thing now? The B something national champion, whatever they call it. Some of you guys, what is it called? The BCS, yeah, championship, whatever. Man, you know what? Everybody in East Texas would know about it. Huh? Shoot, if they just went six, won six games, they'd know about it. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? You say, man, woo! Man, what? Look at the team we got, man. Whoa, man. We'd put on the colors, man. We'd be waving. We'd be having flags on our automobile. We'd be running them up in front of our house, you know. I mean, we'd be going around with maroon and white and a big T right across our nose and a cross across. We'd be going around, woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! Man, we'd all excited. Now, I'm not saying we ought to do that for Christ. Though I have seen a few with some tattoos lately that I'm telling you what, I seen a person the other day, I said, man, you just need to show up and walk down the aisles because I could read the scripture off your back and your arm and your neck there. Now, I don't know if that's what the Lord had in mind when He said, hide His word in your heart, all right? I don't know what's going on in this world today. It's crazy, all right? But I tell you what, the victory comes from telling people about the Lord. It's just amazing what telling others about the Lord will do for your own spirit and give you the victory. V-I-C-T-O, obey the Lord right away. Obey the Lord right away. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 and 23, we learn that Samuel told Saul, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. And the Lord wants us to obey. What is obedience? You young people, you've been to camps and conferences, things of that nature, you hear us preach on obeying your parents, and obedience is doing what you told, when you told, and doing it with the right attitude, the right spirit, right? Hey, that's not just good for kids, that's good for adults too, amen? Amen. Obey the Lord right away. Here's the thing.
I tell you what, a lot of times Christians don't have the victory. It's because the man of God is preaching and the Spirit of God touches you. He's impressing upon your heart what you need to do, and you know good and well that's what you ought to do. But instead of humbling yourself, yielding to the Lord, and coming and making that decision, we turn around and we walk out the same way we come in, right. And we wonder, preacher, why are we not getting the victory?
Right. It's good.
Why am I not enjoying my Christian life? Right. Why can't I see? Why, you know, you just seem to be on the top side all the time, and why is it I just, why is me?
Right.
Many times it's because we're not willing to act upon the truth that God reveals to us. We're disobedient. Sometimes parents, we want to get on our kids for not listening. Sometimes we might do well to take our own advice when it comes to spiritual things.
Amen.
And when God speaks to us, we listen and be obedient. Hey, here's another one. How about R? Right, any relationship that has suffered injury.
Amen.
I'm talking victory. We want victory. We want victory. Then a big part of that victory is making relations right that have suffered injury. What is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32? This is a great revival verse. It really is. Take your Bible, turn over there. We got a minute. We can do this. Ephesians chapter 4. Y'all still with me this morning? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now it says be put away. Unfortunately, too many Christians like to hold on to that stuff. Look at verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another." That's a novel thing for Baptists, amen. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Now notice this, "even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'm telling you what, there are many Christians that are not experiencing victory because of bitterness that they've allowed to remain in their heart. Unforgiveness that they've allowed to remain in their heart. You can't get to victory. You can't get to victory. The only way to get beyond that is to forgive. So, well, I don't know if I could ever do that. Well, then, if we're unwilling to forgive, then we're putting ourselves above the Lord God Himself. Because God says that He forgave for Christ's sake. And as a Christian, when someone does us wrong, we are to forgive not for us, but for Christ's sake. Amen? Is that person don't deserve to be forgiven? Okay, granted. But we forgive for Christ's sake, and we forgive that we might have the victory. Because the truth of the matter is, if we harbor those things in our heart, that ought, that unforgiveness, we will not get the victory.
Right.
Let me go on. The last one. Why? Yield your life to God without reservation. Yield your life to God without reservation. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind," the Scripture goes on to say. Amen? Present. Yield. Surrender. Say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, he said, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." Okay? So let's review. Let's review. The Christian's victory. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Scripture, we see the language of victory. We have the Lord of victory, which is Jesus Christ Himself. The length of victory, which is eternal. So the victory is assured for the believer. And the very practical application of that victory will come if we will verbally ask God for daily help. Invite Christ into all that we do. Confess our sins to Christ daily. tell others about Christ. Obey the Lord right away. Right any relationship that has been injured. And then yield ourselves to the Lord completely and without reservation. Then you can stand back and sing, I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Let's sing it. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming. Praise God, He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. The victory we have in Jesus.